Hello and welcome to another episode of Read It With Whiskey. My name is Laura Gentinen and I am your host. And today we have C.S. Wachter. So Chris is a 60-something mother of three amazing sons and she is also a grandmother. She has been married to the same absolutely amazingly patient man for nearly 40 years. She spends her days obsessively writing, and she has been known to spend way too much time gaming on a borrowed Xbox. She has a degree in performing arts and English education from Rouen University, and she has had a job of a professional proofreader and more than 50 years of experience as a voracious reader of multiple genres, but mostly fantasy. She has definitely honed her craft with a level of maturity that she didn't think she possessed when she was in her 20s, and it's prepared her to finally write her fantasy series. This Christian fantasy series is called The Seven Words, and we talk today about The Sorcerer's Bane. So let's get into the episode. Welcome to Read It With Whiskey, an interview podcast highlighting self-published authors. I am your host, Laura Gentinen. The purpose behind this podcast is to help authors grow their audience while also introducing readers to their new favorite authors. Let's get to know the person behind the page. Sit back, sip some whiskey, and lean in to these self-published authors. All right, how about a little Laura J. Live update? So my voice may change throughout this episode because all of the Chris information I had recorded when I did her episode, but the Laura J. Love updates are every single week and I do them as they come. With that being said, I have been a little bit sick and my voice is gone. So that's why my voice might sound a little bit weird. So you guys, I've been having a really, really tough time with editing Oscillation Rising, and I think it's just because I have a lot of things going on in my life, and I just have not had enough time to really sit down and focus on editing. I'm going through a job transition for the day job, and I'm cutting back my hours so I'll have more time to write and edit my books and work on the podcast and my Patreon account and all that kind of stuff. So I am really, really excited for this transition, but it's taking a lot of time. And so I know it will all calm down and everything will go into kind of a nice rhythm within the next few weeks. But yeah, it's been kind of hectic. So if you would like to help me in this process, then I would really love for you to become a patron. So if you go to patreon.com/readitwithwhiskey, you can become a sponsor of the show. And this is huge, you guys, because the sponsors are who are keeping this podcast alive. The sponsors are paying for the time that it takes to record these podcast episodes and edit them. Editing takes some time. And so if you would like to help support the podcast and keep it running, definitely head on over. Again, that's patreon.com/readitwithwhiskey. There are three different tiers you can choose from. And you guys, it's like a coffee a month. That's all it costs. It's nothing too extravagant, but every little bit helps. So go ahead, head on over. You'll get some exclusive episodes. You'll also get video content of the interviews, which is super fun because you can see us in our completely unedited selves. And it's always a good time to watch people interact rather than just listening. So I personally invite you to head on over and sign up. This episode is also brought to you by Coffee Over Cardio. I absolutely love this coffee brand. I've been drinking them for about 6 months now. Once I found them, I never went back to regular coffee. And I have a discount code for you guys. It's 10 Laura J Live. 10 LauraJayLive. There is a link in the podcast show notes. So go ahead, click that link, use the code. You're going to get 10% off. And it is definitely worth it. This coffee's amazing. So definitely check out Coffee Over Cardio. Use that code. But yeah, let's get into this episode with Chris because I know you guys are dying to hear it. Hello, Chris, and welcome to the Read It With Whiskey podcast. I'm so excited for you to be here. How are you doing today?
I am doing wonderfully well today, Laura, and thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to do this with you.
Yes, I know. I think I've been I've been burning for this episode to be recorded because I just fell in love with the Sorcerer's Bane, and we will talk about it. But first, before we get into all those details, first, would you like to tell our listeners, how did you get into writing? Where did that start?
Okay, I did get a degree in English education back in the day, but I didn't really use it much, and I never really thought of myself as a writer. But I had a neighbor who wanted to work on her memoir, and she had another neighbor who was working on his, and there was a third neighbor who was working on a book she wanted to do. So they invited me to this small neighborhood writers group, and we just used story starters. We'd write maybe two or three pages for a story. And every time I read them something I'd written, the response stunned me because they were like, "Wow, you really should write a book. You are really good at this." So, August of 2015, coming home from one of our group meetings, I sat down at my computer and wrote a sentence that was equivalent to Travis Ilk was a seasoned world skipper. He had traveled the skipping lines, mysterious wormholes between the seven worlds of the Aachen system for the better part of 40 years. Wow, I like that. And that's how it all started. And so since then, I just haven't really stopped writing.
That's so exciting. And now you're retired, so this is what you get to do with
Yes.
your free time. So you have eight different works already published.
Yes.
And so before we get into all that, what's your favorite part about being an author? I like asking people this question.
I think my favorite part is just discovery. It's always an adventure. I am a holistic writer, which can also be called a panster writer, which means that I don't do the outlining. I don't set up the whole story so that then I can just, write along and fill in all the blanks along the way. For me, it's an adventure every step of the way. And I do it very prayerfully because I happen to be a strong Christian. So I will pray about, okay, Lord, where am I going with the story today? And sometimes, like during the night, I'll get impressions. And each step then is a total adventure. I love discovering new characters that I thought were going to be one way and end up being another way. There was one particular character in the Seven Words series, who appears in the second book of the series, The Light Arises. And I really had set plans for him because I just sort of knew he was going to be part of this one group. And the first words out of his mouth were completely opposite of the way I thought he was going to be. And suddenly I realized, oh, you're going to be on the other side of this story.
Oh no. Isn't that incredible how characters can just take over? They're like, yeah, you think I'm going to say that? Nope, I'm going to go in this direction instead. Deal with it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, that's so exciting. Well, I'm excited to meet that character then in book two. So this is the Seven Words series. I read the first one, The Sorcerer's Bane. So those of you who are watching video, I'm holding up the cover here. So tell our listeners, what is the Seven Words series about?
Okay. The seven word series really centers in on the main character of Rain Kirkengard. He is a child of prophecy. And in the first book, at 6 years old, he's kidnapped. His voice and memory are both blocked. So he has no idea who he is, where he came from, and he can't speak. And he is raised under horrible circumstances. He is basically the slave of a demonic sorcerer who wants to raise him to become a master assassin and eventually murder his own parents, assassinate his own parents. So that then Sigmund the sorcerer can thwart the prophecy and laugh in the face of the one and say, ha ha, I've learned your prophecy.
Yes. Oh, there's just so many different twists and turns, and oh, it's incredible. So then we're not going to tell our listeners what happens in book one, but obviously it continues in three
Yes.
more books. And
Yes.
so I know in the first book we focused on one main world. So I'm assuming the other stories kind of find different avenues.
Yes, because of the prophecy, Rain, by the end of book one realizes that this is a mission he must fulfill. This is what he is called to do. And it involves collecting seven separate scrolls, each one hidden on one of the seven worlds of Aachen. So he must travel to all seven worlds throughout the whole story. And as he's traveling, of course, in book two, he's going to meet a young lady. So there we have our romantic interest coming in. By the end of the story, he goes through so much and he grows through the entire process that I like to think that by the end, he's almost a Christ-like figure in that he is willing to sacrifice everything to fulfill this prophecy that he never asked for, never wanted, but is called to do.
Yes, exactly. And I'm going to round back to a few of the things that you said, but before then, let's talk about some of the other works you did. So you have a short story based on the same series world, and a sequel to the series, but then you also have a two-part young adult fantasy series.
Yes.
That's Stone Sovereigns. So want to tell our listeners a little bit about that series?
Okay. That series started with the idea, or actually a question that came to me. What if Noah and his family weren't the only ones to survive the flood, Noah's flood? What if there were a group of other families who found their way into a series of tunnels and eventually over time found their way to a hollow core in the center of the earth where they've been living all this time? And if they were living there, did they still live these long life expectancies, like 800, 900 years old, being very normal? And how else might their physiology or abilities have changed from living at the center of the earth? Would they have abilities that we surface dwellers do not possess? And those ideas led to the story. Lander's Legacy is book one. And in Lander's Legacy, it begins when his grandfather, who is the only other member of his family that is alive, that he knows, dies. And Lander doesn't know his legacy, doesn't know his heritage, doesn't realize he's part of this group of people who happen to come up from the core of the earth. So he begins a journey to discover his legacy, who he truly is. And of course, it being an adventure and a fantasy and a YA novel series, there will be action along the way. There will definitely be a certain figure who will present challenges to Lander. And there will also be a bit of romance, because we have to have romance.
That sounds incredible. I'm just going to have to work my way through all of your books.
Well, the second book in that series, Lander actually gets to travel back to the core. So the second part of the series, just, I love creating the worlds at the center of the earth.
Oh, you've roped me in. I'm hooked and I haven't even started yet. Okay, so all of these different works, they've all been self-published. So tell us, why did you decide the indie route versus a traditional publishing route?
Okay. Initially, I thought I would do traditional just because that was what I knew was out there. And but I didn't really submit to too many publishers. I went to a conference and I submitted to just a few. And all of a sudden, I became very aware of how long and involved getting published traditionally is.
Oh yeah.
And even if I waited 6 months or a year for the first book to be accepted, it might be another year before it came out. And then another year before the next book could come out. And I mean, I'm retired. I am not a spring chicken. At my age, I don't want to wait these years in between. So I made the decision pretty early on to just do it all myself. So I created Shadowfall Publishing, and in 2018, in 1 year, released all four books of the Seven Word series.
Wow, that's inspiring. It's inspiring to hear, because I'm just hitting, I'm working on book two of my series, and I'm hoping to publish all three in the 1 year. So if you can do it, I can do it too.
Well, I know how I hate waiting for you know, the next book and the next book. book. So it's like, okay, readers, I'm going to get them all out there for you. So I got the four books out in 1 year. Then I got the short story and the sequel out in the next year. Then the following year, I got the two books of Stone Sovereigns out. So people, you don't have to wait.
Yes, they're all out there. Go and find them. All right. So tell us, you already talked a little bit about your writing process and how you're more of a pantser. You sit down and you write and what comes out, comes out. However, I wonder how challenging was that? Did you know that the forewords books were going to be four books, or did you start with book one and it turned into four books? That's always intrigued me about if people know how many books they're going to be writing or if the books tell them.
Well, it started out, of course, I had the idea of the traditional trilogy. Mm-hmm. But then as I was writing, it's like, whoa, this story is bigger than just three books. So I had to start looking at the story and deciding, okay, where can I split it now? Because now I know I'm going to go to four books. So it was trying to decide how to be cohesive within each individual story and yet keep it moving forward. So where each book ends, the book following picks up like pretty much right at that spot and we move forward from there because it is one cohesive story.
Yes, I love it. And that's exciting to hear because I want to know what happens right at the end. Because where you cut off book one, it's perfect to lead into the adventure that he's about to go on. So let's get into some specifics with The Sorcerer's Bane. So I really loved this story, but I want to start at the beginning, kind of work our way. We're not going to tell any spoilers. So listeners, you don't have to cover your ears, but I want to start at the very beginning, because you have some very cool content in the front matter. You have maps of every single land or world that this world is including within these four books. And not only that, but you also have all the names of them and then what those worlds are known for. So that's a big undertaking. How did you come up with those worlds and where did that inspiration come from for all of the different components that were involved?
That's a good question. My friend, who was the one who talked me into joining the writers group initially, says I have confetti in my brain because there's all this stuff just sort of, you know, floating around in there. I don't know. It just sort of all came out of my head. And as it came out of my head, it was like, yeah, that's exactly how that has to be. And yep, that name was just right for that person. And I really don't have a good answer to that. It just sort of flowed out of me. And I knew that there had to be seven worlds because there had to be seven words. And each word was specific to the world to which it was written. And that they had been hidden for like 1,000 years, safely hidden within their own worlds. So I knew there had to be seven, and I knew that each one had to be unique. So it just sort of made sense for it to happen that way. And if you're interested in more information, if you go to my website, which is just cswachter.com, I have more information on all the worlds, and the maps are there in color.
Ooh, I know. I love the maps, and they're just black and white in the book, so I'm intrigued. I'm going to have to go and check out the full color version. And then also in the front matter, there's a list of characters, and they're given in the order of appearance. And I utilized this list because, like you already mentioned, these are long stories and there's a lot of people that come in and out. So if ever a name came up, and sometimes I'm just tired and I'm like, wait a minute, who is that? And I could just flip to the front and be like, okay, that's exactly who it is. That was so helpful to me. So I want to say thank you for writing that. And I like that it didn't give away anything that happened to any of the characters specifically, because you can't know what happens to the characters as you meet them. Otherwise, that would give away the story. So that was fun. Is that something that you knew you always would have, is a list of characters, or did that just come about randomly?
Because I knew it was going to be a longer fantasy, I knew that I would need the list of characters. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, it's hard to keep so many people straight. Admittedly, there are only a few main characters. But still, when you have those people who hop in from time to time, mm-hmm. you want to be aware of who they are. So I think having the list is really important. And also with it, having seven worlds, if people didn't remember, okay, wait a minute, which world was the ice world? Oh, okay, yeah, I can go back and look. Oh yeah, Quirkyria, that's the ice world. I remember that now.
Yes, and because the names are different than like the traditional names you hear about nowadays, I think that helps also that they're listed out so then you can keep them straight. Because if their names are John, Jim, and Carter, those are common names, right? But the names that you have are more unique to your worlds, and so that is also another component that it helps with.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because I had one person comment like, your names are different, but then you throw in a regular name. Okay, you shouldn't really be doing that. But okay, one of the little keys to the story, and you'll notice that I drop tidbits along the way, is the idea that this takes place in a far future and that these people originally had come from Earth at a different point in time. So to me, any name was fair game because they had a history that took them back to Earth anyway.
Right. And that is so, it's such an interesting concept because a lot of the book has a medieval feel to it because of the kings and queens and the way that our main character, Rain slash Ren, you'll find out very soon that he has two names throughout the book, though he only knows one of them. But with his character, what he goes through, it's very medieval slavery type, being an assassin. That feel is more historical, but then thinking about it in the future, it's a really interesting concept to kind of put your mind around. I loved it. Okay, so speaking of future and sci-fi kind of concepts, the skipping lines or jumping from world to world, that's something that I like when I think about that, I think of teleportation or like Stargate. So where did your concept, do you have a specific thing that brought in that concept that you experienced or maybe something that you read that brought in the inspiration for that type of traveling?
Well, I guess probably a Stargate idea would be the closest to what I envisioned. But the difference is in Stargate, when they would step through, they'd go through all this, spirally stuff and all, there was a transition. I wrote it that the moment they stepped through, there was a sensation of sinking, but then they were immediately in the other world. Because it was an idea of how do I tie the fact that there are seven worlds. But I wanted to keep the medieval feel. So it's mentioned like at one point in the book where Rain asks about them, and it's, well, they don't know if they were built by people in the past or if one had created them. We just know that they are there and that is it. So, like once again, if you think about Stargate, there were those planets that where the gates were there, but the indigenous people had no idea, what who put them there, why they were there, that kind of thing.
It's such an interesting concept. I really enjoyed that idea, and I'm excited to see how that plays out more as our main character travels to a bunch of different worlds in books two through four. So, speaking of characters, I had a few favorite characters, but I always like to ask the author, who is your favorite character and why? Or if you can't pick one, do you have a favorite character that you enjoyed writing the most?
I have to go with my main character, Rain. I am the mother of three sons, and to me, Rain became my fourth child. He lived in my head, and I put him through so much. Oh, that poor boy, that poor boy. And he continues to be strong and move forward. But there was one point in time when I was having some dental work done, then I'm lying there, back in the dentist's chair with my mouth hanging open. And I can almost visualize him like hovering above me and laughing, saying, ha ha, now it's your turn.
Oh, that is too funny. And it's so interesting because I've talked to a few other authors who have a same feel. It's like they're my child. Not only the book is my child, but the characters are because you know everything about them. You know their internal struggle, their past, their future. And yeah, that's hilarious though. Sitting in the dentist chair. Okay, so I really enjoyed Rain slash Ren and I really liked his struggle that he went through and the transformation that he went through. A few of my other favorites were Anne. Anne comes in and she is a very good friend to Ren and a healer. Warren is one of my favorites. He's a teacher, and I really liked how, so he reminded me of a teacher I had in high school. This was an English teacher, and she taught me so much. And I go back to things that she said, even now, 10 years since leaving school. So I really liked that Ren was able to utilize things he learned from Warren throughout his entire process through the book. So I really liked him. And then I really enjoyed Thorvin and his transformation through the book. And I'm excited to see what book two brings us for his side of the story. So those are some of my favorites, just so you know.
Well, it's interesting, the whole idea, like with the Thorvin character. My one friend who's read this series, she keeps saying that there is a certain actor, and she really thinks Kevin Sorbo should play Thorvin. If I see Kevin Sorbo as Thorvin.
Oh, there you go. Now I'm going to picture him every time I think of it. Oh, that's funny. So yeah, I really liked his character and how it just progressed, his relationship with the main character throughout the entire story. All right, so we talked a little bit about the maps and how you created all of those. I'm excited to see what happens in the future and as we get to dive into all of those different worlds. But the one of the largest parts about this book that I did not want to miss is the whole religious Christian theme that ties in from the very beginning. So we learned that in this world, their God, they consider him the one, and he not only do they speak to him, but he actually has the ability to speak directly to your characters. So what was that like, putting religion into the book and kind of being God for these characters?
I didn't feel like I was putting religion into the book because that was the story. And as the story unfolded, I just knew that the one was an active, living, vibrant part. Not that he was part of the world, but that he oversaw the world, just like God of the Bible oversees the world. And I felt from the very beginning he needed to be one a character himself, even though he doesn't make the character list. He is definitely a driving force throughout, and yet the characters do have to make their own choices, and they aren't always wise choices. And they do have to grow. But he, just that whole idea, to not be afraid, but to be courageous, because I'm never gonna let you go. I'm always here with you. And that was the message Rain needed to have time and time again. And then as the story progresses, there is a point in time where Rain does go through a dark night of the soul, and I'll tell you that's in book three. And it takes a lot of courage and strength and the ability to forgive for him to then move forward. No, I said book three. That's actually the end of beginning of book four. Gotta remember to keep this straight. Book four, for him to actually come back and basically recommit himself to the one and the one's calling on his life.
That's exciting. And I really enjoyed the Christian themes within this book because I am Christian. And so I could relate to Rain's struggles that he was going through with trying to understand why the one would put him through something like this, why he was worthy, all of these different concepts, because it relates to religion. It's all tied in. So I had so much to relate to him, and I'm very intrigued to see how that struggle progresses in the beginning of book four then. So I just really loved it. And it was a breath of fresh air because not many books out there that are fantasy have such strong Christian themes in them. So I really enjoyed it.
That was, something that I guess I felt in my heart and that came through as the story poured out of me, that this was the story that needed to be told, that this was like the statue already in the stone that just needed to have the extra stuff chipped away to reveal it. I felt like the story was really there, and all I was doing was just transcribing it as best I could.
Exactly. And I like that people who are not of faith or Christian, they can read this book and it's not going to be like you have to believe this one way. Like a lot of people feel like they're not going to read Christian books because they feel like they're trying to be persuaded. It's not like that in this. It teaches you how religion works, but it's not forcing anything on the reader.
Right. It's not an apologetic, or it's not pressuring you, or not saying you have to take the proper steps or anything like that. It's just these people living through Corrine, living through his growth in faith.
Oh, it's so good. All right. I feel like if we talked any more about any of the specifics, we would just end up giving it all away. So our readers or our listeners will have to go ahead and get your book. But this would not be the Read It With Whiskey podcast without talking about whiskey. So, Chris, what is your favorite whiskey to drink?
I have it right here behind me, along with books I've written or been part of writing. Glenlivet.
I love it.
I'd love to get some better stuff, the more expensive stuff, but for now, this is just right for me.
That'll do fine. You're the first person to have it physically on camera for us. I love it. All right, Chris, before we take off, go ahead and tell our listeners where they can find you, your books, and learn more about upcoming projects.
Okay, once again, my website is cswachter.com. That's CSWACHTER.com. My books are all available on Amazon. So there are the four books of the Seven Words series, the short story, Demon's Legacy, which continues the story of Rain a little bit further in the future. And then the sequel, which people who've read the first four books say, wait a minute, what about this and that? And we need more. So the sequel came along, and that's called A Weight of Reckoning. And then there are the two books of the Stone Sovereign series, Lander's Legacy and Lander's Choice. I also am in a couple anthologies right now, but everything's available on Amazon. I'm also on Goodreads. You can find me on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, on LinkedIn. And currently now I'm really active on MeWe, especially with a really neat group of writers and authors.
Yes, that is how we met for you listeners. We are in a writing accountability group together on MeWe, and it is a group of fun people of all about sci-fi and fantasy writing. And I'm so glad that we found each other through that because without finding each other, I don't think I would have found your book. So,
I'm not very good at marketing. I've got to learn this marketing thing.
We'll bring that into the accountability group on our call tonight.
Okay.
All right, Chris. Well, thank you so much for being on Read It With Whiskey. I had so much fun talking with you.
I had much fun talking with you as well. I look forward to talking to you again later.
Speaking with Chris was so amazing. She is such an inspiration, and having written 8 books since 2015, I'm just in awe of her. I had so much fun talking with her and learning about her craft and her stories. And even after we were done recording, we stayed online for a few more minutes and I got to talk to her about a few of the things that I didn't want to spoil for you guys while we were in the episode. But she is such an inspirational person, and I'm so honored to have her in my writing group on MeWe, and just to be a part of her writing journey is really, really amazing. So I hope you enjoyed the episode with Chris. I know I did. So go ahead and check out all of the links in the podcast notes. There is a direct link to Amazon, and for about a week after we launch this episode, this is June 8th as the episode goes out. For about a week after this launch, there's going to be a special on the Sorcerer's Bane on Amazon. So you do not want to miss out on this gift that she has given you. This book was really incredible, and I hope that you can grab it. If you are listening to this after that deal is already done, then that's okay. Go get the book anyway. All right. Thank you so much for listening to our interview. And coming up next week, we have Dan Petrosini, and he is the most published author that I have ever had on Read It With Whiskey. So I am really, really excited for you guys to listen in. His episode will come out on June 15th, and we'll be talking about his book, Corey's Dilemma. All right, you guys, until then, talk to you soon.